I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Spoke, and you're with Fen.
And myself, Big Zoo.
And today we're talking all about money.
Yes, how to be savvy with your P.
Right, exactly. So studies have shown that less than 25% of young people have any financial education, and only 7% show high level of financial literacy.
It's mad because I don't even know what financial literacy is. Anyway, right? For many young people across the UK, the thought of even being open about money fills them with the dread, as people would rather remain quiet about their personal finances.
And it has also been found that money education is stalled in many secondary schools across the nation, resulting in thousands of young people leaving schools and university without any sufficient knowledge about how to be savvy with their pay.
Man, they ain't teaching y'all.
No?
They ain't teaching y'all.
Right?
So we gonna teach y'all today.
Right. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
I wasn't sure if you were meant to come in.
I was just waiting.
We had to give it the gas. Can you just let the people know
where
we
have
blessed ourselves with your presence?
Ladies first.
Oh, thank you. My name's Bola Sol. I'm a personal finance guru.
Oh, wow.
mate, it took me a long time to give myself that title, trust me, but eventually I was just like, no, I do what I do.
I've
been talking about money now for at least 4 years.
Mad.
Studied maths and finance, and I just wanted to really put it out to the community. That could be anyone in London, anyone in the UK, anyone around the world listening. It's, yeah, I just wanted to talk money and talk about how we can build up wealth for ourselves.
Mad.
Queen B.
I just want to chat to you.
Do you know what I mean? Where were you when I was 17, man?
Right. Where was I when I was 17?
So my name is Amani Simpson. I am an entrepreneur and I am the producer of the Amani short film on YouTube starring Javan Wade.
Chase.
And I live to empower young people. So this is,
I love that,
gonna be just like, I'm just looking forward to the gems and hearing everyone else's story and what we can just download and just let those that are coming after us know and save them a little bit of the headache that we went through.
I feel privileged to be in this studio right now because we're gonna know all of this information before everybody else hears it. So let's get going. Tell us, what is your relationship with money? How did you first start to kind of find your feet when it comes to money? Because I know for me, I feel like I still haven't found my feet.
My first interaction with money was, I guess, by stumbling around, you know, by spending a lot of money on frivolous things, you know. And it's not to say that you don't still do things like that every so often now, but I think it's just as you get older, you start to realize, okay, you don't need to buy that and you don't need to buy this. And we were talking off air about the first book that we read, and we both read Rich Dad Poor Dad. And that book really changed my mindset.
I see that book all the time. Apparently it's mad.
No, it's mad. It's an amazing book. And I always, whenever I go out and people say, oh, what books did you read? I always say Rich Dad Poor Dad, Think and Grow Rich, and The Richest Man in Babylon. Those four, those three books about money, untold like gems in there. It's unbelievable. So
I think it was when I saw my brother with a compressor. So my brother's like 14 years older than me, but I just remember him being an accountant and I was thinking, you lot must get paid. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm good with the numbers thing. But I just wanted to understand, and it came to a point where I was like, I have five other siblings, and I was like, why is no one talking about money? Mm. Why is it? Because I remember my first job, that's when it was my first job, and I was just like, okay, cool, this and this. And I was like, wait, what's tax? What's NI? I was like, who are these people? Yeah. Why are they taking my money? And I think it was trying to understand. And you know those ones where you think like money's like this secret. So I'm like asking people, yo, is this happening to you too? Is NI taking your money as well? Not understanding what these things go towards and how you're contributing to the community, but also how you can contribute to like your own personal finances as well.
But it's mad, like I know that for me, like I'll go to my accountant and I'll be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. He'll talk to me for about an hour and I'll just be like, I have no idea. But even though I think that like, I know I'm doing okay for myself, like I don't necessarily know that I'm spending my money in the right way. And there is such a lack of education about how to spend your money, about these, about tax. Like you have to learn about 100%. Tax as after you leave school. And for me, I'm freelance, so, and the same for you, Zoo. Like learning about tax is like, I still haven't got my head around it.
Conversation. You have to keep talking to people, especially if they're in the same industry as you. Because like when I'm contracting, literally, I'm just like, so who's your accountant? What do they do? What was your so like if we're doing the same job and I'm contracting, I'm like, what was your corporation tax? I'm like, what? I'm paying too much. I'm on the phone to my accountant. I'm like, why is this happening to me? Like, you need to be able to ask questions without just feeling like, oh, this is what I owe. Like in everything to do with money, you need to question it enough to be able to negotiate it.
But I think the one thing is that people don't give it the time. And that's true. Yeah, I think that is because people are too busy with their lives.
Yeah.
Like they've left school now, they're trying to get their career on the go, they're trying to focus on whatever they're trying to focus on, music, whatever it is. And money is just this irritating thing that you have to deal with. We're not educated in it. So then we're stuck in this situation where you kind of know it's there. Like I know that sometime in the next few months I need to do all my receipts. I know that I have to, and that is on the back of my mind, but it's just like when we don't address it properly or we don't talk about it. And the other thing that you said about not talking about it, why is it that we don't talk about it?
I think because we all come from different backgrounds. So some people, like I've lived with a girl at uni that she has 6 bathrooms in her house in London.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's nuts to me, because I was just like, oh, you're up. Like, like she's upper middle class, whereas like I'm working class. So we just got a second bathroom and I'm feeling gassed about that. Do you know what I mean? So I think sometimes people can feel ashamed. Do I have enough? Or don't I? And I think now we just need to be in a place where wherever you start, you just need to remember it's not where you finish with your money.
Of course,
it's about where you finish, it's not about where you start. Do you know what I mean?
And I think the other thing is as well is a lot of our parents didn't talk to us about money. And so it was like a taboo, like you almost grew up in an environment. Like I remember me and my sister were driving somewhere with my parents and we were just like, Mom, Dad, like how much do you guys actually earn? Like, and it was a question where we had to, because we are like now starting to do the adult thing and we're starting to, like, I, as a young man, I really aspire to do better than my parents did, because it's just about leveling up and trying to make sure that the next generation coming after are in a good place. So if I don't know how much my parents are earning, and not to say that I'm going to go and like start gossiping about it, but how do I know when I've reached that level? And so it was a really hard conversation, and I think because their parents didn't speak to them about money and their parents never spoke to them about money, it's just passed on. So I think it's just starting to break those cycles, and parents just really sitting down with their children and saying, these are some of the hiccups that can come, these are some of the lessons that I would like to pass on to you, rather than kind of telling them in the moment of crisis. You pre-warn them. You know?
Got to be proactive, not reactive.
I think naturally people don't like talking about numbers. Like, for me, when I'm around my man them, like, around people, around just normally, people don't like saying the exact number of what they're earning, of what they're getting. Like, let's say man does a show, man will talk about the show, or man don't really want to talk about how much I made from the show. Just naturally.
But then people will talk about how much their drip costs.
Yeah, of course, of course. People talk about how much their that costs and that costs, because I feel like when you expose how much you're earning or how much you got from that, you're leaving yourself for judgment. Like, so someone might judge you, oh, is that enough? Are you getting enough? How are you living off that? How are you doing this off that? Do you know what I'm trying to say? I just feel like naturally people don't talk about numbers. Like my mum, like even talking to her, just like to get her to break down everything that's going on in the house and council tax and this and this and this, it took her a long time to be able to just break down the numbers to me. Like, so because she knew when she broke down the numbers to me, I got the full picture.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of us need, because I think without it, I was going through a time where like I contribute towards the house, but my mum was just like, do you know what, that's not enough. But my mum has never really broken down like how much everything costs, because it will make you understand. There was a time that I used to, it sounds dumb, I used to brush my teeth and leave the water running.
Yeah.
And that sounds like such a little thing, but my sister used to get so annoyed at me. And she'd be like, Mum, do you see what she's doing? And my mum was like, one day she's going to understand what she's doing. Yeah. And ever since then, you'll never catch me leaving that tap running. Because now you just know, like, you there's know, a cost
exactly.
to everything.
Exactly. Yeah. But I feel like they naturally, yeah. like, I feel like parents will naturally guard it from their children.
But how long are they kids? How long are we kids?
Do you know what it is as well? I think, I think part of the reasons why parents do that is because some of them have made mistakes. And so sometimes it can be quite embarrassing to have that conversation.
I think that's the thing.
Because, they, you know, they're able to get through life and, you know, between the, if it's a husband and wife or whatever, then they're able to deal with it internally.
Yeah,
and, you know, when I've spoken to my parents now and they've said there was days where we didn't, like, we chose not to eat so you guys could eat. Or we, like, my mum and dad moved to quite a nice area. My dad grew up in a council estate in West London.
Mm.
And, you know, as much as that's great, like, they're still grinding, they're still trying to build business, they're still trying to set up their levels. And I think one end of it is we have worked so hard to get you into a position where we don't want you to worry about this stuff. But at the same time, as from a child perspective, when you start becoming a teenager and an adult, you want to know, actually, you know, where are we at? You know,
because the sooner I would have known, the more I could have, like, helped plan better. Like, if I knew what I knew now at 17 would be the difference between me trying to buy a house at 21 or 22. When I saw some people doing that, I was just like, that wasn't in my economic power. However, if I knew what I knew at, like, even 15, I would have said, cool, once I get my first job at 16, this is how much I'm putting away and things like that. But it's just about having the conversations, having the knowledge and having the, like, nitty-gritty conversations with your parents or guardians.
Yeah. And I think the same, like, from parents not telling or, like, not discussing their side of things in terms of numbers, I think the same goes for our side when we get employed to work on a job and not breaking that down for them. Like, I know that I've been employed on a job and they'll be like, what's the fee? And I'll give them a fee and they're like, what, why? But you have to break that down for them.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that that's so important. Like, there's so many times that when I first started out, and it'd be really interesting to hear, like, I think everybody's stories, the same as Yuzu, just stories of starting out and, like, trying to get enough money to make that for myself and Yuzu, it's something creative, and yourself as well, to make that creative thing that that client wants happen. And talking money with a client is really hard.
Yeah, not 100%. Like, I guess for me, before I got into, like, this is my first short film and it's been amazing to work on. But before I did that, I was an estate agent. Well, I still am. I own an estate agency company and we do property investments, etc. But even negotiating my fee at the beginning, I used to, like, move super, like, like, fragile. Like, you know, like, oh, is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to charge you. Is that all right? Like, you're kind of almost, like, prompting to see if it works. But I think you get to a stage in your life where you say, like, this is what I'm willing to work for. Like, I used to get to a stage where I was like, I'm not leaving my house for less than. And that's not me trying to be arrogant. That's just because it costs a hell of a lot to do what I do. And I think it's just, I guess, getting to that level of self-confidence where you can say to yourself, like, yeah, this is my value. And I think sometimes you don't necessarily have that in the early days because you're trying to build a reputation. You don't want to get, like, blacklisted and stuff.
And we haven't been taught about it. We haven't, like, that's the thing. And that's what I wish that I'd been taught about. Like, I'd do jobs for absolutely nothing, like, looking back, because I hadn't been taught about it.
Thinking about it, education on how to negotiate being a freelance. You know what I'm saying? It just comes from life experience. It's mad because that's not what the system directly wants you to go into.
So I think for, like, anybody listening in, like, if there is, like, what's your advice?
I think I definitely, you mentioned before about, like, that education, we were saying before about education. I think the school system, we have to remember, isn't made to give us everything. So there has to be things outside of school that we study. So YouTube and Google are amazing resources. Like, we live in the information age where we can type, literally, if I pick up Siri and I ask it a question, it will give me that information. And so we need to be able to use that
100%.
And leverage that to get the information that we need. So if it's like, how do I save? Or, you know, what's Bitcoin? Or what's all of these different things that people inquisitive about? If we don't ask these questions at a young age, then you're not going to get that in school. And you're going to spend your teenage years and maybe even your early adult years not really understanding what it is. Whereas if you can learn it from early, like, if someone told me about Homes Under the Hammer from the age of 12, 13, I would be a millionaire right now. Because it's just, you see it and you're like, why can't I do that? And it's possible. We have the information, and it's just the application alongside it and, you know, the commitment to it. So
This podcast is going to be so inspiring. Yeah, I was going to say, this podcast is going to be so inspiring.
When I, bruv, I watched a guy buy a plot of land for like 150 bags, but made 15 properties, cost him about like 700k overall for the whole thing. It instantly went on sale for the houses. There is the plot of land plus all the houses, it's all worth like 1.4 mil now. Yeah. Straight away. Yeah. As soon as it's all landed.
Mm.
It's like, right, you just converted that 700 to 1.4 in a 12-month process.
Bolo, what's your advice?
Don't be afraid to ask questions and don't be so worried about
what people think.
Yeah, what people think, or if somebody says that's a silly question. Like when teachers say, like, there's no such thing as a stupid question, you have to take that seriously.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with going to your parents or guardian and like starting to say to them, you know, could I speak to a financial advisor? Do you know any? Do you know anyone who works in this? Do you know anyone who has property? Even they ask, oh, why are you asking? Because I want to get right with my money. When people say, why are you asking? I want to get right with my money. There's nothing wrong with that. Do you know what I mean? And that way, doors will open up to you. And at first you won't understand. But the more you talk about it and the more you have those conversations, you'll be like, actually, this makes sense. Okay, cool. This is what I need to do. And you can get yourself in the right process. A lot of people don't do because they don't have the knowledge. But you have to start by asking. Because as you said, the education system will only do so much for you.
They can't teach you how to buy a house and pay your tax, unfortunately, because not everyone is going to go through that process.
I wish that was homework. Don't you wish that was homework?
Yeah, but this 100%. Is how I look at it. I think, I wish I learned about these things when I was younger, but I've been put in positions where I've had to learn about it. And because I've learned about it, like me going through what I've gone through, like making music and stuff, like from a young age, I've had to learn all these things. Like from when I was 18, 19, I had to start getting a bit clued up, you know what I mean? Because man's self-employed, thinking, right, why am I not paying no tax? And me think about what's how that's going to have implication on me, because I've always been someone, I haven't done any like little dodgy things. I've always been on a good path, thank God, innit? And I did that because when I grow up, I always like, I'm like, cool, I've done no madness, this is going to be the back payment, like my credit's going to be good, I'm not going to have any problem, da, 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 da. That wasn't my exact thought process when I was young, but I always kept it in the back of my mind. So when I started going through things where I had to learn about tax and had to learn about this and had to learn about that, once I learn it, when my friends were going through it, they'll come to me to ask me. Like, even things like just helping, like, even going through the process of having to declare everything that I've earned to the council so they can work out my mum's council tax, like, then my friends didn't understand. So when they're getting these letters and their mum's getting stressed, they're bugging. But because I've already gone through that, I'm like, yo, it's fine. Just come. You have to do this, read the small print. But to them, they're not reading the small print. They're just seeing the letter says, your house benefit's going to stop if you don't answer. And they're like, oh, what do I do? There's no one to speak to. They're calling the government. No one on the phone's really helping. And that's the sad part of it. I feel like you said, you have to gain the knowledge. When the time comes, you have to go gain the knowledge, because the knowledge is actually there. It's all there.
I think you can use social media as well. These days, I'm not afraid to just like tweet something and just be like, so how does everyone deal with this? It could be little things. Like the other day, I was just like, so how often does everyone go to the dentist? Sounds nuts, because obviously after a certain age, this is another thing people don't tell you. What age is it that you have to start paying for the dentist? Is it 18 or 19?
That was a punch in the mouth when I first
gosh. Look at the words that you used. A double entendre. Literally, indeed. 100%. Literally, such a punch in the mouth, because you're just like, wait, what? I have to pay for this. I have to pay for a checkup, an x-ray, a disc, if I get a fill-in.
And it's not cheap.
Yeah, it's like they're punishing you for eating.
So do you think that it's different for men and women? Do you think young women have to ask different questions to young men, or what do you think?
I think there's probably some foundational things that everyone needs to know, and then there's probably more specific things. So I think we live in a generation where women are, rightly so, trying to be a lot more independent than maybe years before. And so therefore, I think young ladies have to ask themselves, what is it that they want to do for themselves? And how do they want to look after themselves so that they're not completely reliant on a man? Because, you know, I've got young people around me that's like, I want to be a YouTuber, I want to be a wag, or I want to be, and it's just like that's not necessarily goals anymore. Like, I hear you, but there's so much more that you can do. And I think also for young men, a question is like, you know, we hope that one day they're all going to be like husbands or dads, or like kind of a strong figure in their household. So it's like, how do I want to make sure that my family is secured? You know, these are the questions that I think when I started to think about me getting married, I started to think about, actually, do you know what? Like, how am I going to make sure that my wife long term is going to be good? And then when I have children, how are they going to be good? And then my grandchildren, like, I think there's certain questions that men will ask. And also, like, it's same thing. It's not to kind of discount that women are not going to ask the same question, but I can only put it from my perspective. And it would be good to really hear from you, like, I guess.
Do you know one of the questions, because I work in financial services, one of the questions I ask some of the top women is, how did you get to where you were? Because there's not many women at the top still. The gender pay gap is still real. What did you do? And sometimes you have to look at, is it nepotism? And nepotism is obviously basically when you know certain people in certain places and they can hook you up and take you to that next level. So you know when your friend's like, yo, bus me this, like, it's literally the same thing, but just on a...
Networking.
Just on a professional level.
Yeah.
So it's about asking that and also knowing about, like, things that eventually, if you do want children, it could be a long time from now or it could be closer. Like, what maternity benefits do you get? It's so hard for
people. Even down to Serena Williams.
That's mad. You would think she wouldn't have that.
I think the greatest like tennis player of all time, not male or female, for me, just overall.
In general, period.
And she left and they stripped her of her rank. She brought her back. They ranked her like 100 or something in the world or something. Yeah, she come back. Crazy. She won straight away. But she was, like, one of the biggest, like, ambassadors of, like, how things still need to, like, be like, accounted for. Like, the fact that she went on maternity and she had a lot of, like, her childbirth went easy.
Yeah.
So coming back into it, like, she weren't, like, necessarily welcomed, you know what I mean? Like, she kind of, like, had to work her way back up into her ranking and to get that ranking where she is now. And, like, she just did Wimbledon and she was, like, in the final. Like, she didn't win, but she showed that, like, you know, she had to work twice as hard.
But it's mad because there are stories like this in everyday life. There are so many stories like this, and we're not necessarily aware of them because, again, we don't really talk about them.
Yeah.
I think one of the foundational things I was just thinking about as you guys were speaking is that both, you know, sexes need to ask is, you know, what is your value system? What are you willing to do for money?
Yeah.
Because I think that there's some young men that are willing to do fraud and robbery and sell drugs and all these different things in order to get to a particular stage of their life. And then there's some women that will do certain things for guys and will move in a certain way. And so it's that value system to say from a young age, that's not me. I don't care how much money you're throwing at me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And I think that's something that we really need to speak about because we've grown up in such an instant age where things are just microwave and very, very quickly.
People have no patience.
Exactly. And so therefore, if we don't really start having conversations at a young age and say that this is a realistic amount of money that you should be earning as a 16-year-old, like most 16-year-olds should not have a Gucci belt. That's the reality. Like, because that same money should be put into something that long term is going to make you money, not 100%. Just because right now you're dripping and you're seeing on Insta and you want to, like, you know, it's just the mindset is skewed.
It's because of that longevity, isn't it?
But how do you think that you got to that mindset?
Again, it's a lot of the books that I read and a lot of the elders that I had around me, because I think a lot of my older brother and cousins and stuff like that, they weren't flashy. So some of them had money, some of them didn't have money. But again, like, I saw the value systems that they had and that was more attractive to me. And so, you grow up in the rapper era or that where everything's quite flashy and quite materialistic. But I think for myself, because I've built from the ground up and not necessarily try to cut corners to do certain things for other people, it's allowed me to just slowly kind of just know that when I get a certain amount of money, when I get a certain check, I'm not just going to go and buy Gucci to make everyone else think that. And no disrespect to Gucci, there's other things that are available to buy. But do you understand what I'm saying?
It's like consumerism.
Yeah, I'm not consuming. Yeah. Like for me, my when I was younger, I might say, what kind of, like, things like holidays, like experiences, like, I'd rather spend my money on an experience that I'll remember forever than to buy something material that is going to potentially get damaged. But everyone's got a different viewpoint, and so
what you like,
I grew up different, and I think because I've spent the most of my 20s like grinding and being self-employed and trying to start a business, like, there isn't much room to a certain extent in those early years to be frivolous and to be like, I'd rather say in a conversation that, I'm building an estate agency business than for my clothes to be dripping. Because when I've left that person, I don't have an estate agency business, I'm just dripping.
And do you know, that's so real. I think from me having older siblings, what I've seen is some of them now, like some of my brother's friends, I've seen them like approaching 40s. And one of the things that I clock is that I'd say maybe some were into illegal activities, and fair enough, at that point in time, maybe they drove the sickest cars now. I'm sorry, sickest cars then. But some of them now don't even have the credit available to get a car in general. And that is mad to me, because what you're saying is that you have chosen the fast route, and it's flipped and reversed on you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now you're just, you know, you don't want to see those people like, yeah, what's up? I'm just trying to get by. The whole point is that you are moving forward, not that you're moving backwards because you wanted to find that the quickest, that quick fix. And that's not how it works.
Well, two things that came to mind as you said that was one of them, one of my favorite sayings is, you know, a lot of people want to be comfortable early, but then will be uncomfortable later on because they cut those corners. And it's those that are uncomfortable early, those that are saying I can't go out every single week, that, you know, I'm not gonna buy that, I'm not gonna do this with everybody, that are comfortable later because they've played the long game.
Exactly.
And I feel like, again, you know, when you're talking about the types of things that people had in the early stage, like, it's like Jenga. If you don't build your life on firm foundations, and like, you've got every single block in place as you're building, then all it takes is one wrong move and it's gone.
Yeah.
So what would you say is a good age to start building? I know there's no any, like, but a good
I think good habits can be formed from as soon as you start to be, like, given a certain element of responsibility. So as soon as you're, like, kind of early secondary school and you, like, get a little bit of pocket money, good habits. So, like, I think about some of my godbrothers. As soon as I got my godbrother and godsister, as soon as I understood Rich Dad Poor Dad, I bought them Rich Dad Poor Dad for teens.
Nice.
And so that they could, like, get that. And then one day he came to me and was like, oh, I've used my money to buy a camera. Like, and it's just like, I know that that's worked. So I think it's just, especially for the older, like, listeners or the older generations, like, it's how do you install your knowledge into those coming up after you? So that can start young. That could be like, you know, you give your 5-year-old £5 and say that's got to last you all day, or that's got to last you all week, and see what they do. And then just, it can start at any age. It can start at any age, I think.
I would say, like, maybe when you get your first job, because... And also, if you get student loan, because you might not have your first job till after student loan.
Yeah.
But the moment that you're getting money coming into your account regularly, whether that's from your parents or maybe your siblings, whoever it is, you want to make sure that you're saying, all right, cool, I'm going to put a little away. And I don't know when I'm going to get it back, but I know that it's a long-term type of mindset. Yeah. Even if it's like 95% of my pay is going to something, even if you can start with 5%, the whole point is that you get into the mindset that you're parting with some of your money each month to do something greater than today.
In the future.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it's hard, though, because, like, I was just thinking about what you guys are saying. I feel like for a lot of young people who are doing things like living a fast life, they haven't got the clarity of the future because, like, no one before them had the clarity of the future, really. Like, imagine you don't have any role models of people that have, like, been successful their whole life. Like, people around you are just getting by. So you don't know what it's like to actually have, like, a successful future. I don't know if that makes sense.
No,
but
you
know what I'm saying? Like, what they throw forward to, like, so let's say some of my boys are just shotting, let's say I'm young and my boys are shotting. I'm saying, no, I don't want to shot with car. Like, I don't want to go jail or have any problems or That's how I'm thinking. But that's because, like, my mum's installed, like, a factor of that I need to help her for the rest of my life. I need to be the person that's going to help her. So that's my fuel behind me. But for some of my friends, like, they don't need to help their mum. Their mum's patterned. They're not rich, but their mum's alright. So they're just doing their thing. Like, they're just living their life, but they're not seeing to the future that, raw, if this happens, this happens, this is going to affect my financial thing. I can't go to the bank now. If I do, like, AC, if I do an AC fraud with somebody, I now I can't ever have that credit card. I can never have a credit card with that bank. I can never work with that bank again, or I can never do that. Do you know, just trying to, these kind of things.
Ooh, I know people like that.
I think it all comes down to the lack of clarity for what's going to happen in the future, because you're living for now, isn't it?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, not even to plug what I do, because that's not what this is about, but that's one of the reasons why I go into schools, because I think it's important for us to start early and to have some of these conversations young, because that accepts, you know, everyone's got choices. That's the first thing I always tell people. I'm like, you can grow up in whatever environment that, you know, is presented to you, and you can either go down that road or you can go down that road, or you can start going down there and then slowly turn it around. And so I always look at it and say that as soon as you make a decision, as soon as the student is ready, the teacher appears. As soon as you say to yourself, so for example, you being a music artist, you say to yourself, do you know what, actually.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I want to do music. I'm not on road. I want to do that. And then slowly what you start finding yourself is hanging around with other musicians, going to studios, doing like certain shows. If you say to yourself, okay, my only option, and no disrespect to your friends, because I don't know them, but if they start saying that actually I want to be on road, then soon you start hanging around with man that
everything,
are doing that.
Everything that comes,
And so I feel like for young people, especially like that are growing up and a bit confused and like maybe don't have as much clarity in terms of the direction that they want to go down, it's definitely hanging around with people that they aspire to be like. And that could just be like you've got an older person that is actually doing something positive that you say, can I spend an hour with you every week and just ask you questions like that doesn't cost anything and it's then like, you know, who did I see the other? I met Noel Clark the other day. I went on set for Bulletproof.
Yeah.
And I just sat there for an hour and just asked him bare questions.
Yeah.
And that, to me, I'm at the start of my career. Like, I know I want to get into the level where I'm doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And if you can find someone that is positive, that can download on you early. Yeah, mentor, but just inspirations. And also, as I said before, we live in the information age. Yeah. So there's now a lot less excuses for the next generation because I can go on YouTube and watch an interview of someone that's a million miles away 100%. From me and find out how they did that. 100%. If I'm willing to search.
Put in a time.
If I'm willing to search on YouTube for something else and look at a different side of the web, then and follow the right different pages,
then I can find what the problem is. I feel like a lot of young people learn from mistakes. They only learn when things start going wrong. Because at the end of the day, when if you're shot in, living a good life, you're getting the money in, you're getting the latest clothes, you've got a mad car. Right now, you're thinking, well, I'm the guy. He's going to last forever.
Yeah. But sometimes the key is just to see people who are a little bit older than you that have taken the same path, just to see, is that still where you want to be?
But how many washed up olders in the end?
I think it's having somebody ask those questions. Like, I know that, like, there will be like questions. So my dad will ask me, like, so how much have you got saved? And I'm like, but you never talked to me about savings. Like, why are you asking me now how much?
Because if I say zero, what are you gonna say?
Yeah. Like, we never had those discussions.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying about numbers.
Yeah. And whenever you say numbers, I keep thinking of Wiley. Whenever you say numbers, I'm like, that Wiley song. But anyway, go.
Oh my days! I think one thing I wanted to talk about is credit. And credit cards and stuff, because I think one of my friends is Iranian, big up him, big up ours. He, from when I was young, he was like to me, yo, so you need to get a credit card. And I was like, oh, allow that, man. Oh, the credit card, what? They're going to control my money, the government. I don't know why, I just didn't like it. Yeah. I was like, no, if I get that, I'm going to spend all the money on it. Like,
I don't have a credit
what
card.
What limit am I going to, you know what I'm saying? You don't have one?
No. All
right, so here I'm going to say.
Yeah.
When he told me to get a credit card, I didn't understand how important it was, to build that credit and start working with the bank, and start using it for what it could do for me.
Leverage.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? But once I did get the credit cards, it opened up so many doors for me,
So tell me, why should I get a credit card?
Okay, just from my understanding, then I'll let you lot, you lot are the bosses.
Can I just put a disclaimer? Like, I'm still trying to wing this.
Yeah, cool.
I'm trying to make my saying.
I'm all right because I'm not. Like, now I'm teaching the man them about the credit card thing.
So what
I learned was I was at a place in music where I weren't making mad money. I was trying to invest. I had to pay for videos and stuff. Yeah. So I went to the bank, got a little credit card, my little limit. I had like £600, and it was like it's just stupid APR straight away. There was no little purchase limit, little passing nothing. It was just £600. So I was like, cool. Started spending money off it. Maxed out the whole thing. Raw. I need to pay this back. I ain't got no money. What am I going to do? But I'm working hard. So I've gone online. My boy showed me a next thing. I've gone online, searched for another credit card. Now, there's credit cards that could do a balance transfer.
Yeah.
So what this balance transfer would do is pay the money that I owe to that credit card, So I've really kind of dug myself a hole. Yeah. But
there's hope.
There's hope. Because instead of having to worry about paying this £600 that's going to go up every month because of the APR that and the interest on it, I've got another credit card that's done a balance transfer, but it has like a little purchase limit on it because I had that first credit card. So because I had a credit card, it's now opened me to get a better credit card. And what that better credit card is going to offer me is a balance transfer to take away that, to pay that £600 that's on that credit card that I owe, but then there's like little perks, so it'll be like 6 months no interest.
Mm.
So then I was able to transfer that £600 over, but I have no interest on it now, instead of having interest just because I had a credit card. Then I've started paying back that credit card slowly, slowly, less pressure, no interest. Then I'm like, rah, I'm making more money now. I'm working harder. This is all over like a couple of years. I've gone to get another credit card for this credit card. So for the second credit card, I've got a third credit card now.
Yeah.
The balance transfer is bigger,
mm-hmm.
and the percentage is more. So let's say it was 12 months, 0% interest,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a limit of a grand and a half now. So now I've been able to pay off that rest of the money that I owed,
mm-hmm.
and I got more money. But I don't have to pay any interest in it for 12 months. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, right, I've got like a little rack here. Let me invest that into a music video. I've invested that into a music video, paid it off. Now for a year, I'm paying off this £1,500 with no interest. What have I done? Got another credit card. Got the other credit card. What's this credit card now? 24 months, no interest on the balance transfer. And the limit's £3,000. I've paid off the music video, paying it off slowly. And eventually, no credit card debt. And I got banging limit. I got banging credit card limit. Got banging credit.
Okay, I'm going to go
because I got the first card.
I'm going to go get a credit card after this.
But you just got to have the discipline to have it.
Because
some people, because you can,
so much,
because it can start, it can start really small. You can just be like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then you'd be like, do you know, I'm hungry, I'm going on Uber Eats. No, that's not what a credit card is for. A credit card is like, for a great example is this. It gives you extra it gives you extra protection. So like if you were to use a debit card to book a flight, the difference is the amount of protection they give you. So let's say, for example, you got, this is such a great example, I used Arik Air, which is not a great African airline. My sister got married in Nigeria, so like, yeah, we're all dancing, and I've flown there, and then basically I see all flights back to London are cancelled. Now the difference between booking that on a debit card and a credit card is a credit card would intervene and find me another flight back to London. On a debit card, they don't give you that same level of protection.
Yeah.
So this is where things like flights are really good for credit cards. Mm. And it's obviously really good for emergencies, because you're not always going to have the cash available. You could be on holiday and something could happen. Mm. You could get to the hotel and they're like, I'm sorry, we have no idea of your booking, we have no idea who you are. Mm. Where are you going to go? What are you going to say to them? Please just let me stay tonight. It doesn't work like that, unfortunately, as an adult. Like, being nice isn't enough. You have to have something. This is where credit cards are good. And obviously, if you have certain things you want to pay for, but you can't pay for it all at once, this is where credit cards come in handy.
Yeah.
Obviously, the key is as well that you're making at least the minimum payments every single month. So you need to have enough money to be doing that. Otherwise, they're going to charge you, like, I think it's like a default fee and things like that.
Mm.
And then they can charge you more interest. So make sure that you're keeping on top of your payments and even paying off more. A great tip, actually, is to make like 2 payments a month. Minimum. So like, let's say, for example, the minimum payment is £60. Like, I would maybe pay off £40 twice in a month.
Yeah. That's what blatantly what I was doing.
Yeah.
Like, trying, like, paying when I need to pay and then paying again, like middle of the month.
Mm.
Just trying to get it all done. Like, a sick thing, I bought my merch with my credit cards.
Yeah.
Sick. Like, because someone told me, someone just said, gave me the advice, don't have no money on your debit, man. You don't need money on your debit. I was like, why? They said, you don't need money in your debit, man. You don't really need money in your debit like that. I was like, because I used to keep all my money in my debit.
Yeah.
Just, let me look at my debit. Oh, there's peas there. I'm all right. Do you know what I'm saying? But then now I've got a business account. I keep my money in my business account and I pay myself a salary.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, when it comes to, like, your credit card and that, it's just easier for, like, lump sum payments for stuff. Like, if man's going to book something and I know I have time to pay it off instead of having to, like, it comes out my debit and that's like, right, that's from my soul.
Because you have to continue to live for the rest of that
month. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I think the thing about credit cards as well is that when used properly, they can be, as I said before, they can be leveraged.
Yeah.
So exactly as you were saying, it's the idea. And it could be anything small. It could be just, okay, I'm going to buy a cup of coffee that you know you can afford, but you're going to buy it on a credit card, and by the end of the night, you're going to put it back in there just to kind of start building up a bit of a reputation and like a history with the bank or the credit card. And I think the other thing is as well, and we were talking about property before, obviously having worked in property for quite a few years, it's when you start looking at buying a house or renting, like your credit goes before you. I won't even, like, as an agent, like, I'm not even going to talk to you if you can't show me, like, you've got a credit history and it's good, or it's on certain numbers. I can't, is it 900 is the max?
999.
So like, if you're, it's like, there's some people that will come and it's like they've got certain things, are they missed this payment, they got this CCJ, they got this, they haven't paid this credit card. Like, it's just literally like, it's like your identity on paper. And so it's important, if you, especially to at least have something that they can say, okay, you've got this credit card, you've got this phone bill, you've got all of these different things in your name. Because when it comes to you actually trying to do something to level up, like, these are the things they're going to look and say, oh, so what were you like when you had like a little £200 limit on your credit card, let alone when you're asking, can I borrow X amount, 100,000 to buy a house?
I want to talk about American Express. What do you guys think?
I've never used them, you know. I don't have any experience with
them. Some people have it, and they, like British Airways have an exclusive American Express card, and a lot of people use that to like book flights. I wouldn't say you need to book your holidays, because you can pay for your accommodation yourself, but people use it to like book flights, sometimes book holidays. And the great thing is like you can get certain points, so air miles. And this is the thing, like, if you are smart with your money, there's ways that your money can make money for you. And that's what a lot of people need to understand, because people are thinking, why? Let me just put it on the card I have. Some people are so loyal to the banks they started with at a fault, that if you realize that actually, if you use an American Express card that gives you air miles, by the time you get to a certain point, you can get a flight free and things like that. But it's just about having the knowledge.
Yeah, I think that that loyal to your bank thing is so mad.
It's
like,
crazy.
I'm telling my boys, yo, get a credit card in mind. Oh, no, man, I don't really like them, man. Like, why? What did they do? What did Barclays do?
And man's like, oh, I don't like their branding.
Yeah, what did they? You see me? Aye, brother. Lloyds, NatWest, Barclays. I mean, all of them.
To be fair, actually, I say that as a joke because I actually, to be fair, I actually only joined Lloyd's because I like their advert. Like when I was younger.
I get you. There's going to be things that make you gravitate towards a brand. You know, you understand? Like NatWest is my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to look at the fine print.
Yeah, because when I got my first credit card, I was just like, I've been with NatWest all my life. I'm just going to get a NatWest credit card. Yeah. I didn't think about interest rates. I didn't think about APR and what that truly means. 100%. And these are the things that you need to find out for yourself. And sometimes you can feel sick. You're like, oh, they're giving me £900 limit. And then, oh, they're giving me £1,200. But what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? And how are you using that as a form of leverage to make your situation better?
God bless those like money supermarkets and price comparison websites and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like you put your information in there and it gives you options. And I feel like when we, especially like the older ones of us, like when we grew up, we didn't have that.
No.
Nope.
It was very much like, as you said, like, I'm doing this because this is comfortable. Like, these guys already know me. The bank are automatically going to give you something. Whereas, like, you know, as time has gone on, they've started to change and give us options. So you can, like, you know, even when they changed the, what was it? You can switch an account like instantly.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas before,
yeah,
that used to like take ages to do. Yeah. And I think it's just like as time goes
and
on.
And they can pay you for that as well.
Yeah, they give you £100.
Like, oh, I loved that. I switched once just for that. Listen, if you're young and you need a little bit of money, depend, and you switch your direct debits, and just switch accounts. They give you £100 extra.
Cold.
Can I ask who you guys with and why?
I've got numerous accounts.
Yeah, me too.
I've got like business accounts with Barclays, like savings accounts with HSBC, Lloyds. It's...
So why have you chosen to have?
Just simply to, again, like this is when I was younger, like you kind of like, you just, I wanted to spread things around.
Yeah.
And so I might say, okay, my personal cash, like I've got a Monzo recently.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'll use Monzo because I like the kind of digital element of it.
Yeah.
And then I've had a NatWest since I was a boy, similar to you guys. And then it's like, okay, Barclays, they gave me the best business kind of account. And my social enterprises, obviously, like got a business account as well. And so they were like, we're not going to charge you any fees for certain things. So I was like, sick, nice. I'll stay with you guys. And then HSBC is a World Bank. And then like the only one I haven't got yet is Coutts. And that's just because like I haven't got that level yet, but when I do, I will go into these, because it's, I think it's important to move and
to
have
move
different things
and
in different accounts. And
100%.
Yeah. I'm literally the same. I have so many accounts, but I've closed some as well, just because I see having certain accounts like having certain friends. Like, it's kind of like at one point, like at first you can turn up with that friend and stuff, but eventually you want to do different things. And is it that you can just turn up with that? With that bank, so like, do you know what I mean? Are you just putting money in there? What is the bank doing for you?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. People will say, "Oh, you shouldn't have friends because of that." But eventually, everyone needs to have a certain amount of value in your life,
yeah,
and the same goes for your bank. So I've been with like for example, Lloyd's or whatever, and I'm like, actually, I don't think you're doing enough for me. And sometimes you have to negotiate with them and be like, this is what I'd like, or like if there's like a silver package and like you're paying, I don't know, £7 a month or £8 a month, you'd be like, yeah, but NatWest will let me have it for £6 a month and things like that. And then you're like, actually, I don't want to have, I don't want to be with you anymore. I want to be with NatWest now. It's literally like relationships. That's what I say, like the way you see yourself in relationships is, and like your value can be actually related to money and what you think you are able to do.
You spoke a little bit about negotiation there, and obviously we spoke about a tiny bit about it when you're putting value on yourself. Talk to me about like negotiation experiences, like the first time you really, because I think it's like you have a right, but I don't think we know that.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
I'll use one of my first lettings experiences. So I basically started a letting agent. For those that don't know what a letting agent is, it's essentially when you're going to rent a house. I'm the guy that would broker the deal between the landlord, the guy that owns the house, and the tenant, who would essentially be the person renting it. And so I've done all of that. I found the landlord and essentially gone to his house, but I haven't agreed a fee with him. Because I'm naive, just like one of my first deals, I'm just super excited that he said, yes, you can help me find a tenant. And so I've then got to the house, I found a tenant, I've done bear running around. And then I've said to him, oh yeah, like, oh, it's going to be whatever the fee was, 2 weeks rent or 5% or whatever the case may be. And he's gone, oh yeah, yeah, cool. No, I was only going to pay you 1% or 1 week. And you're just like, what? And then to be fair, actually, I didn't initially handle, and this is just me being... and I don't know, I didn't handle it the best way, because I started to get aggravated and like, oh no, what do you mean you're not paying me? What do you mean? And then I actually started to look back and like, you know, later on, and I was just like, actually, that's not how you handle it, because you didn't agree to terms before you left your house. You didn't say that this is what you're willing to work for. And so what I then started to do as I built my business was I started to learn from the mistakes. So, you know, there was times where a tenant would say, oh, well, you didn't tell me that this is how much you were going to charge me. And so I can't legally charge them for it.
Yeah.
Because if I've done something and I haven't agreed it, I can't then go back and say, oh, this is how much I'm going to charge you, because that's just not fair. I'd get written out in 100%. The court of law. And so it's just, I guess for me, as you go through, it's learning how to put things in place before you even, like before you do anything, just say, look, I'm going to work for this. Is how much it's going to cost? Is that okay? Get that in writing, put it in an email, send it in a text message, put it in a voice note, whatever. And then when they've agreed it, then you start working.
And then also negotiating with the bank.
Oh, so if you're looking at the bank, like I've never really had to do that personally. I've never had like much experience with negotiating with a bank. What I can say though is that, as with anything, it's, there'll be times where you're going to have to kind of just put things on the table and know like what your value is, as we were saying before. So for example, I'm getting into property investment or property development, shall I say, and I was speaking to one of my mentors yesterday, and we were talking about that when it comes to a certain level of developing, you'll have to go to a bank and say this is what you're looking for, and you know, and then negotiate. And so I think when I get to that level, there'll be a lot more negotiation, but 100%. Right now I haven't necessarily.
Is there any like super tips you got for the peoples that you know that people might not be talking about with their friends or might not be experiencing?
First of all, there's no such thing as a get rich quick scheme. I feel like that's important to say, whether it's cryptocurrency you've heard of, whether it's pyramid schemes. What was the other one that there was, it called Loom or Loop or whatever they were doing on Instagram stories?
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
There's so many different things. There's no such thing. Obviously, everyone has to work hard. Make sure that you understand how to use credit as leverage. That's super important. Just because you don't need something right now, it doesn't mean you won't need it in the future. So prepare now. And when it comes to things like savings, there's lifetime ISAs. And what's great about lifetime ISA, I love to talk about this, is the fact that it will give you up to 25% if you put down £4,000 each year. And that can go towards a property, your first property, sorry, or it can go towards your pension in the future. So let's say, for example, it's 2019, the new tax year was in April, so I put in £4,000. And let's say I do that every year for 3 years. For up to 3 years, let's say I now have 12 grand. They will now add in an extra 3 grand, and they is the government. So they'll add an extra 3 grand. Who else is paying you that percentage for you to buy your first home?
100%.
So you need to make sure that you're leveraging the options out there. So that's a real key tip.
That's for the Help to Buy
scheme. Help to Buy. Yeah, and if you're not an existing... The Help to Buy scheme, they're not accepting new customers after the 30th of November this year. So if you want to get into that...
You've got to think about it.
Think about it.
That ISA is amazing, though.
I think my key tip is read. Yeah. Read, educate yourself about financial literacy. Read books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Richest Man in Babylon, Think and Grow Rich. There's so many I can think of, I can't think of right now. But I think essentially, like, for anyone that is, even no matter how what age you are, it's important to just make sure that certain areas of your financial literacy are covered. You know, to understand the difference between being self-employed and being a business owner. You know, because that's the other thing. People are like, oh yeah, I'm self-employed, it's sick. Like, but that means you just have a job that you're working mad hours for. Like, a business is owning a system. So it's little things like that that I would always just try and download, because I think essentially what I'm even getting from this conversation is that everyone's learning. Like, everyone, you know, I can't say everyone's got, like, no one's got it down pat 100%, and there's always extra things that you can learn. And 110. So it's constantly educate yourself, constantly ask questions. Like, don't be afraid to, I guess, like, sound silly or be a little bit vulnerable, because that will save you a lot of money in the future. Like, to that's what I would say.
Do your parents come to you for advice?
No.
However,
as soon as I started to understand the value of property, I really tried to speak to my parents about it.
Yeah.
And I just think that you get to a stage where, like, you especially kind of being the older generation, where you're a little bit adverse to risk. And so maybe if I'd spoken to them a little bit earlier on in the career, like, certain things they would have maybe been a bit more open to. And I think that's just everyone. You're not going to be able to kind of convert everyone. You can say this is the sickest thing, and look at Facebook. Like, the guys, like, he had what, 5 people that walked in the room with him at the beginning. Like, not everyone's going to believe in your dream. Like, they'll say, yeah, that's cool, but they're not going to come all the way. So I'm more so about, like, those coming after me, how do I make sure that they're good? And then when my mum and dad are older, that if they say, okay, we haven't done certain things, that I'm able to prop them up slightly if they require it. But I don't think I would have done all right still.
Another key tip, it's not the nicest tip to talk about. Talk to your parents about life insurance.
And if high five. I need to high five you.
Talk to your parents about life insurance and if they have it.
It's not a nice convo still.
It's not a nice conversation. And it won't be a nice conversation, but it might save you from a GoFundMe.
Trust me.
I remember when my mum first had that convo with me, boy. I was upset, but it's a real life thing.
100%. And also, that's a very key, like, get life insurance now. If you can, if you're eligible to do it, get life insurance.
I think my mum got her thing, like, looped in with her bank, with her one. Okay. So it's, like, all under one thing, like, our life insurance, our house insurance.
Because you mentioned,
with her bank.
You mentioned it, it's like, it's not an easy conversation to have.
No,
but unfortunately, when the time actually comes where you're like, have they got life insurance? Yeah. It's going to be even harder to compute actually 100%. Where that stands.
Could you, like, break down what life insurance is for maybe someone who doesn't know what it is, hasn't heard of it?
Yeah, so life insurance basically protects the person insured when they pass away. So it will cover things like funeral costs, any assets they have. But the amount you pay a month is dependent on what it can cover for
you. What's like
you?
A normal payment that people do? Do you know?
I can't, like, I don't have life insurance. Okay. And I don't want to ask my mum what hers is, like, how much it is, but I just know she has it.
So my life insurance is, for me and my wife, is £25.
A month?
Yeah, a month.
Okay. Altogether?
Altogether, yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're with Vitality Life Insurance.
Yeah.
And so, like, I got, like, an Apple Watch and, like, I get free cinema tickets and stuff like that. And they encourage you to be healthy.
Do I need to get married? I get life insurance? Because that sounded like the plug right now.
Life insurance is generally, like, because, again, I didn't ever, like, and I think it's back to what I was saying about, you know, some of the questions that you ask when you get older, especially from a man's perspective, is that, you know, if something happened to me, and you know, I'm self-employed, if something happened and my business is, for whatever reason, because they were initially reliant on me, then what would happen to my wife and the mortgage and the cars and everything? And then she's left in a worse situation. And then it's the funeral, they're looking after the kids, and it's just like, okay, if something ever does happen and I, you know, unfortunately go before my wife, I want to make sure that there's a certain, you know, nest egg, there's something. And so paying £25 a month would allow me to, for want of a better term, is to go peacefully a little bit more, because I know that, you know, certain things have been put in place. And it's not easy, but again, there's so many different options out there, so it's just important to start having those conversations from a young age.
One guy told me that his dad passed away when he was younger, so like 14, 15, and there was 5 of them, so like his mum had 5 kids, and she was like, she was a great stay-at-home mum. I was like, sorry, I was like, how is she a stay-at-home mum with five kids? He was like, life insurance.
Yeah, cold.
Yeah. Right. I feel like you two need to come back for the next 12 weeks because we need to do a whole series. Let's go. This is money. This is spoke because this is so interesting. It's been like an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Every week we ask our guests to bring in an item of choice. Mm-hmm. What is that item?
What is your what item in relation to money?
I'm wearing it.
Yeah. Jeez. Do you know what? I've been staring at your
rice at home.
There is rice at home.
Yeah, I started this merchandise a little while ago. I might bring it back. I was going to say I'll bring it back in time for autumn, but it seems like autumn has come a bit early.
I feel like we spoke a little bit over that caption or whatever you said. So I feel like you should say it again.
There's rice at home.
Mm. Plastered over a jumper. Sweet.
Ooh, there is rice at home.
There is rice at home.
Can I tell you, that's exactly what me and my boy did yesterday. Oh, you know I'm going to draw for the phone right now. Let me show you. So I'm sitting in the house. Oh, let's get delivery, man. Nah, man.
There's literally rice at home. No, you got to learn to look. Yeah, you got to learn to look in your fridge. You've got to learn to look at what's there.
£20 for all the groceries, split that £5 each. Yeah, fantastic. You've got a fat meal and a drink.
And you got food for tomorrow.
Yeah.
There you go. Bring that food to
£5.
Work.
£5. Or you're going to spend £15 on delivery to get a one meal that's going to be cold.
No one tells you when you start working, like when you start a job, that where a lot of your money will go to is lunch.
Yeah.
If you don't control it, if you don't bring in that container, that is where your money's going. If you're like, where's my money going? It's in your belly.
100%.
Yeah, so true.
My item, I couldn't actually find it, but I will tell you about it. And we've mentioned it quite a few times, is Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Yeah,
I think I've actually given it out. That's why I haven't got it. Yeah. And I've got an audio version, so I haven't needed it. But Rich Dad Poor Dad, a book by Robert Kiyosaki, is probably...
Is it an old book?
Nah, it's old. Yeah. Yeah. And there's different... He's an American guy, but there's different versions. So you've got Rich Dad Poor Dad for teens. I think you've got for parents as well. But I think Rich Dad Poor Dad, essentially, just look for that series. There's even a board game called Cashflow Quadrant which is sick. And I think the thing that really helped me to turn my kind of financial literacy around was when I started to understand the different quadrants that we're in. So you are employed or you're self-employed, which means essentially you own a job. And then on the other side of the quadrant, you're a business owner or you're an investor. And a lot of people don't necessarily understand
each of the four kind of
different, like, you know, categories. And so the reason I would say to anybody listening to this is to go and buy it is because it's very simple and easy to understand. Yeah, I've mentioned some of the other books. I'll say them again. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And the final one is The Richest Man in Babylon. I can't remember who that's by. But it's... No, George Carson, I think.
I'm not sure. Yeah,
it's an amazing book. Those three books. And if you want to get like a bit of a quick summary, just go on YouTube and just search Rich Dad Poor Dad summary and somebody will have done an animated version to it.
You can even have it on in the back. That's the key. Just make it a part of your life, like personal finances, that it's just chilling. Even if it's just chilling in the background, you're learning. I know a friend that he listens to like investment tips as he sleeps, so he literally listens and just falls asleep to it.
I used to do that with revision.
Yeah, that's the best way to learn, apparently.
You need to if you want to make money, you need to install it into your mind and manifest it. I'm telling you, I talk about this every day. Talk about this shit every day.
What manifestations?
Yeah, I just being rich, owning a house, making businesses.
I swear you're like salivating right
now. Listen, I'm telling you. 100%. See my Alvin in NatWest. That's my guy. I've been friends with him for 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a mortgage broker now.
He's a private mortgage broker, but he's hired by NatWest as well. I met him when he was just like doing like mortgage broker. He's the biggest mortgage broker in Victoria.
Cool.
Yeah. My man is a G, and he taught me how to do the yard thing. He taught me how to buy a house. And while I'm en route, inshallah, by God's power, I'll be doing it soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And he taught me that, and that's one thing I think people need to start doing. Talk to people in banks. Become friends with them,
trust.
Man.
Trust.
Them man can help you.
I feel like I've got a massive to-do list.
I got you.
It's like built up in my mind.
I got you.
But one step at a time. What happens is some people, like, they overwhelm themselves and think like, oh yeah, but some of the things, it's not going to happen overnight. Like Jay-Z is a fantastic example. Everyone can big him up now because he's 49 and he's a billionaire. We're not 49.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So let's take 49. It one day at a time with this money. Do you know what I mean?
It takes time.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have
amazing.
You guys. It's been incredible. Thank you so much.
Boom, boom, boom.
This is Big Zoo.
Myself, Big Zoo. Big Fen on the other side, hyphen.
And this is Spoke.
Boom.
Hey guys, if you're loving the podcast and want to support the cause, make sure to rate and review us.
Make sure you tell your friends and follow us on Insta and Twitter
at
This Is Spoke Pod.
Pod.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.